Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, big week, a big couple weeks here in Chicago media. You know, it's all been overshadowed. The news has been overshadowed by the election, and we haven't really had a chance to really sink our teeth into the new ownership of the Chicago Tribune. Editorial changes, including Chicago Magazine, where we saw Beth Fenner be let go and replaced by Susanna Homan, who was famously from Susanna's Night Out, who was running the Splash. I guess it's an insert. Is it a magazine over at Chicago Sun-Times? So she moves over. And we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about some movement in social media, the move towards the algorithm. Don't get me started, man. I get so angry. Scott Smith's here.
You just
here.
Like things to be the same, right?
No,
you're just like settle in. You like your fancy pictures.
I don't want Facebook
pictures.
And Instagram telling me what to look at.
All right.
Don't get me okay, we're getting out
All
of
right.
order.
Yeah,
you're already
sorry.
Getting
I don't
want to
mess
up.
With your
Scott
system.
Smith has worked at a lot of different places here in Chicago. He's our new media contributor. Good to see you, Scott.
Good to see you, man.
All right, so let's talk about Michael Farrell and the Chicago Tribune. Obviously, you know, there was a lot made of him becoming the majority stakeholder at the Chicago Tribune, and he gave up his right. He put it into a trust for Chicago Sun-Times. But the big news this past week was the change-up at Chicago Magazine.
Right. So this was something that I think there had been some speculation about. You know, Michael Farrell is, I think, enjoys the familiar, if you will. You know, he's got, I think, some very specific ideas about how he thinks newspapers should be run. And they're based in his background in tech. So he's very big on, like, use data and, you know, use the technology to actually create more content and things mm-hmm. like that. But one of the other ideas that he has had is this idea of some kind of glossier magazines. And he tried to start the Grid at the Sun-Times to be their sort of business magazine. I think it was a good idea and perhaps not particularly well executed in the work that went in support of it. I thought the content was actually pretty good. The people behind it were actually great. One of the things that he sees as one of his successes is Splash, this sort of glossy magazine that's focused on fashion and style
celebrity.
Yeah,
right.
And
that's where there was a lot of dust up about Jenny McCarthy coming in, and
right.
I think Jim Belushi had a column at something point, but the idea of all that kind of, you know, coming to work for the Sun-Times, it was inside of Splash.
Right. So it was inside of Splash. You can still get, I think, Splash in some of the honor boxes and things like that around town. You know, it's pretty lightweight in terms of literally in terms of its page count, but also in terms of its content. It sort of plays as it's, you know, Susanna Homan came from Michigan Avenue, which was a much literally and,
the magazine,
you know, content-wise, yeah. A weightier kind of look, but still very celeb-focused. She took that same kind of approach to Splash. The idea that Chicago Magazine, though, is, and I've seen this in a lot of the commentary since Beth was let go, that Chicago Magazine is somehow of the same ilk, that is a fashion and style and society magazine, may have been true a few years ago, mm-hmm. but, you know, I worked there for a couple of years, and I will say that the work that she and everyone else that's worked there has done to make the feature content that's in there, the big sort of weighty, you know, monthly stories.
She made a move, and that was a big deal. They moved towards more journalism,
yeah,
to more investigative pieces. We saw with Noah's work or Dave Bernstein's work.
Right. But they did something on the Mexican cartels that mm-hmm. run through Chicago. I mean, these were...
And cooking the books on the Chicago cops.
Right. I mean, these are national stories that originated in Chicago.
But truly, though, Chicago Magazine was created to be a service publication, wasn't it? I mean, the idea was it was a high society kind of top 50 doctors, you know, like it wasn't necessarily supposed to be where you go to get that kind of journalism. That's what we have the newspapers for.
I mean, I don't know. I would disagree with that. I mean, back in the day, it was an offshoot of classical music listings. That's what it was originally supposed to be. The public radio station did that, and it's the name of it is escaping me at this point. But it evolved, you know, particularly in, I would say, the 80s into a pretty serious journalism organization. And, you know, you'd read some of the old stuff, and the stuff that was in there, I mean, I would go through the old, what they call the brown books, the archives, mm-hmm. and it was weighty stuff. I mean, it was on par with the kind of stuff that people laud, like the Roy Coe era and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, if anything, I think that we saw a bigger return to the journalism of it. And what people are saying right now is that, you know, this is now going to take Chicago Magazine sort of back to this idea of it just being a sort of North Shore, you know, style and fashion focused magazine, which we have a lot of. It's a very crowded
marketplace. Let me ask you this. I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate
for
a second, because I mean, and the great, I have a lot of friends and people that worked at Chicago Magazine, you included, and you've done great work. But if the product is not profitable, meaning that, you know, they're running a deficit and they're not making money off of it, and you see things like Splash or other places where they're actually seeing ability to raise advertising or to do things because of the crossover potential with celebrity and style and what the internet does. That's what the internet does. Why wouldn't you, if you're Michael Farrell, move to that?
I can't speak to the, like, as of right now, what the financial situation is with Chicago Magazine.
Yeah.
But what I can say is when I left, I know it was profitable. My understanding was when the former publisher, Rich Gamble, left, it was also very profitable. So, you know, very is, I guess, a you know, relative term in publishing at this point. But it was not losing money. It was making money. So, you know, it was also, let's not forget, this is an award-winning magazine currently. And they got nominated for a bunch of the ASME Awards. So it's an award-winning magazine. It's producing some of the best journalism in the city. It's making some money. Why do you make a change at the top? It's because you come in with a particular idea about what you know, the company that you've just bought is supposed to be about. And we're now seeing that with a lot of this other content that he's now kind of pushing into the digital properties of the Tribune, a lot of this kind of aggrego-driven content.
I think this is a really interesting time in journalism or the print journalism in Chicago, because you're seeing, you know, a newspaper that was once run by a rich guy who likes toys. Now he owns this newspaper.
Which rich guy are you talking about?
Michael Farrell.
There's a few.
Okay. But the idea that he can, I mean, it's so interesting to me that the value of these things is so low when it has been, you know, like think about the 90s. I mean, newspapers, you couldn't buy these things. Now he can go in. I mean, are we moving towards, in your estimation, a one newspaper town? I mean, is this the kind of thing where we essentially have, regardless of trusts and all this kind of stuff, or regardless of what's happening or being said at the Sun-Times, do you see Michael Farrell being the guy who's like, because right now he owns the Sun-Times, he owns the Reader,
right?
He owns the Chicago Tribune, and he owns Chicago Magazine.
And so right now, content from Aggrego, which is owned by Rapports, which he currently has this investment in a trust somewhere, that content is being also served out of the Tribune, and apparently the Tribune is eventually going to pay Aggrego for that privilege. A friend of mine pointed out to me this week, when Farrell was over at the Sun-Times, they sold the suburban papers to the Tribune for a particular amount of money,
right,
which then went to Farrell, which you could theoretically say he's using that money to then buy into the Tribune. For all intents and purposes, it certainly feels like a two-newspaper town, but the question is always, to me, it's always, what is the content, right? And we've seen, and last time I was here, we were talking about, you know, the Sun-Times as this blue-collar, working man, South and West Side paper. It has started to get back to that, and it has started to flex its muscles, particularly in the way that it talks about what the governor is up to and things like that. So to me, that's the key.
Now, that being said, you could still have one owner who owns all of it and says, that's my gritty blue-collar paper. That's my conservative suburban paper. That's my product that's going to be for celebrity stuff. This is going to be my product. I mean, you could see a media mogul in the making here. Maybe it's not a one-newspaper town, but it's a one-newspaper ownership town.
The Tribune distributes the Sun-Times. The Tribune distributes a lot of print content. I mean, again, this is the, for all intents and purposes, what do we mean by a two-newspaper town anymore? To me, it is, do you have a sense that you could lay, let's say, a couple of editorials, one, you know, a Tribune one here and a Sun-Times here, let's say a Reader one here. I don't think Splash does editorials, but like, could you lay them down and go, you know what, all of this is different. These are different voices. There is different, you know, columnists here. There are different voices being heard. There are different aesthetics. To me, that is the thing when we talk about being a two-newspaper town, that's the thing that matters the most. It worries me in terms of the economics of it, that the number of people who, you know, will have jobs here, the kind of media environment we support, you know, frankly, there's a whole lot of national stories right now. Flint, Wisconsin, you know, all kind of Missouri, all kinds of things happening right now that require a vibrant, if you will, Midwestern paper.
I would say past that. I mean, just in Chicago, the violence alone.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot to cover.
Charter schools here. You can go so into culture, Springfield, dining and food. What's happening?
There's
here.
Plenty. There should be no layoffs in media from
there. Should be
print, there should be none.
Look, frankly, I would not be surprised if somebody sees this as an opportunity to create a new media company here, because, and frankly, there's a ton of opportunity if you have one person who is seemingly, you know, starting to cut into the true thing that differentiates a particular publication. I can see somebody saying, there's an opportunity here, it's time to step in, and there is, it's, you know, we can get advertisers because this place is, this particular publication is not going to be what it once was. There's an opportunity to do more here.
Scott Smith is our new media contributor, and we will be back because we need to take a break, come back and talk about Instagram. Gonna mess with my Instagram feed.
You're still gonna be able to fave stuff, so it's okay.
All right, 720 WGN. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Scott Smith in studio with me. Our new, it doesn't even work anymore. You've been doing this for a year. A new media. I like that. Like how it works, but the new media contributor. Before we get to my rant about Instagram, Governor Rauner, I mentioned this at the top of the show, Governor Rauner's on Snapchat?
Yeah, not actively, but he's on there. It's been 2 days.
Did he make a deal of it?
He added me back, though, as a friend. I thought that was cool.
Wait. So how, was this a press release? Where does this come from?
Is he touting this? I don't know. Touted would be putting it to. It was a political reporter said that he's on Snapchat right now. And he is there. Again, he added me back.
Is this something on the DL where he's like, I don't want anyone to know. I'm just doing some snaps.
So I don't know if this is how he's going to like get the info out. He famously does not like email.
Right.
So I don't know if this is his, like, this is how I'm just going to do it this way. Yeah. You know, I'm just going to, like, selfie video. Like, this is my new thing. This is why I think of Mike Madigan, you know, like rainbows shooting out of his mouth and the laser eyes. About to do press conference.
Ching, ching.
Yeah, I don't know if that's how he's going to do it. You know, I don't know if he's just feeling that it was a rough Tuesday. He's just like, I'm super into this, and now I don't know. Now it's going to be my first one. I got all this pressure.
I will say this, man. It drives me crazy. Politicians, you know, when they get on Facebook, when they get on Twitter, when they get on Instagram, you know, I mean, it's obviously run by their staff, but I mean, that's the death knell of any, like, when you start seeing, like, all of your feed being politicians telling you about what they think about Springfield, you're like, oh, man.
It's the joining Facebook version of that, right? Like, you're just like, oh, now.
I think you should, what I need you to do next
time
you come in.
That guy at my dad's office is here now.
I need you to monitor who's following Governor Rauner on Snapchat. That's what I want to see. Is it going to be a bunch of 18-year-olds like, cool? Like, who is it? Who's actually following?
He's just like, I'm having a lot of trouble getting, you know, support for what I'm trying to do with the budget. Going to go after the teens. Going to get them early. Exactly. Figure they'll get to the voting booth in like a year, and I'm set.
This math class sucks.
It's like a long yeah, right. It's like a long con. You know, he's just like, I'm going to put the time in. I'm going to build my community. And then I'm going to be set 4 years from now. I'm going to be A-OK.
All right. We got a couple minutes left for what I've been complaining about with Instagram. They've announced that they're going to go more to an algorithm like Facebook. So if you're an Instagram user right now, you pretty much have full access to every friend of yours that posts. It posts in a linear way down, scroll way down. So you get to see everybody's posts. They've decided they can do you one better. They're going to choose what you get to see.
Right. And then we've saw this recently with Twitter, right? They're now saying, like, while you were away, and they sort of opting you into this idea that we're going to show you the tweets that we think you're going to like the most based on how often you interact with them and things like that. This is unfortunate with Instagram. Instagram is always like the calming place right. that I go, you know, it's like, it's very pretty. There's lots of pictures. It's kind of fun. It's the most relaxing of all the social networks.
Even though there's a lot of kids on it, it's very adult in the way that you follow your friends. You get to see what they're doing. There's no real need. You don't have to do anything.
I follow the Vermont Chamber of Commerce. They tweet out nice pictures of mountains. You know, it's a very zen experience for me, Justin.
That's good.
You know, so if they're going to show me lots of pictures of mountains and trees, like, I'm all for it. But, you know, this, I don't know, this, we're used to this now, right? Like, yeah. I think at some point, you know, Twitter just made their announcement. There was a big to-do about it. Instagram has made this announcement that this is coming, and it was kind of tepid. It was not a huge outpouring of anger or whatever. I think we're now used to the idea that
Why do they do it? That's what I don't understand. I mean, are they doing it on Instagram for a monetary purpose?
This to me feels like, you know, when, you know, the places that own clubs close them and reconcept them. It's kind of like that. They know that, you know, a particular experience has a particular shelf life. You know, they can't keep the algorithm the same all the time because there are all kinds of factors, new kinds of content. I think Facebook, for example, just tweaked its algorithm to make sure that you see live video more. You know, so people are seeing that a lot more often. So they're trying to keep up with what they think people want, because the minute you stop feeling like this is fun or interesting or engaging in some way, you're going to go somewhere else, or you're going to stop using it, and that's death knell. Again,
they're trying to stop the one guy who will post 14 pictures in a row of the same landscape of his street.
Right.
You know, and then you're like, what are you doing? What is this?
Yeah. We're not for dinner. There's 14 pictures of the appetizer. It's potato skins. You know, can't figure out how to just post the one. Anyway, this is all of them. Had fun. You know. At Durbin's or whatever, the, you know.
Yeah. Oh, who posts? Oh, Governor Rauner. Yeah. Great.
I'm waiting, man. I've been refreshing my Snapchat and, you know, expecting maybe he's like, talking about me, going to put it on now. No.
Big middle finger to Scott Smith.
Right. Right. That'd be cool. I'd be like, that. I made it.
And it's nice. It's drawn on with like
people. The little scrawling thing, you know.
Scott Smith is our new media contributor here in the Download. He's on regularly. I'd like to have you more, but, you know, whenever you can get in here, that's great. I mean, it's St. Patrick's Day. I know why you're downtown.
Right. No, thanks for coming in here. I'm heading, you know, right over to Timothy O'Toole's.
you were at Jimmy O'Toole's, now you go to Timmy O'Toole's.
Timothy O'Toole's, and then Patrick O'Toole's right after that.
Scott, great to see you, man.
Good to see you.